It's the Marketplace Tech Podcast for Wednesday the 7th. I'm Ben Johnson in New York. The bonus for consumers when a technology becomes commonplace, price drops, which is why smartphone prices are currently in a race to the bottom. Microsoft, which now owns Finnish mobile company Nokia, is making a new feature phone for $30 to sell to people in developing countries. The hardware company has struck a deal it thinks will be good for business and will match users with what they want. It revolves around a pre-installed app, this one. For the uninitiated, that is, of course, Facebook Messenger, split off recently from the regular Facebook app. It's for users to stay in touch. Why preload this on phones aimed at emerging markets? We called up Forrester's Julie Osk, who says this isn't exactly a new idea.
This isn't the first time that somebody has tried to sell either a Facebook phone or a Facebook Messenger phone.
Right. Facebook has done this, right?
Even before Facebook tried, a company called INQ back in the UK, probably 5 to 10 years ago, gave this a shot, and they didn't succeed either.
Why does Microsoft think it will work?
So there's a difference, I think, between what Microsoft thinks will work and what Microsoft and Facebook want to have work.
Okay.
Today, consumers spend 100 to 200 minutes per week at least in these instant messaging applications.
Uh-huh.
They have emerged into one of the most important properties or territories that a company can own in pre-installing it on phones, especially in markets where there isn't an established incumbent or strong player, gives them a chance of doing that.
Well, there's another aspect to this, I would imagine, where Facebook has had a lot of success in just expanding all around the world in terms of people using their computers and accessing Facebook. And this is the mobile version of that, I guess.
Computers got maybe the first 1 billion people on this planet online, but mobile phones are getting the next 6 billion people online. Starting over a year ago, Facebook announced that more than 50% of its advertising revenue comes from mobile.
Right.
Mobile is its growth platform, and it is the most important platform to Facebook as it looks forward and tries to sustain that growth.
Julie Osk, thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
All this week, we're checking in on the International Consumer Electronics Show. Every year, the Las Vegas event seems to be a place for TV manufacturers to show off their latest and greatest goods. 4K TVs, quantum dot TVs, curved TVs that cost as much as your car. This year, though, one of the most interesting and possibly useful leaps forward for televisions might be happening behind the screen. I'm talking about the operating system. Panasonic's using one from Firefox, for instance. Our friend and CNET.com editor-in-chief Lindsay Turrentine is in Las Vegas and has been neck-deep in television innovations, good and bad. Lindsay, how are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
TV operating systems sound kind of like the worst idea ever to me for some reason. Why are companies doing this?
Well, your TV probably already has an operating system, probably, if you've bought a TV in the last few years.
True.
Sometimes those TV operating systems aren't very easy to use.
That is actually very true. I have gone down the rabbit hole with my remote into places that I never want to return to.
Exactly. So now the major TV manufacturers are trying to think a little bit more strategically about the operating systems that run on their televisions. So, for instance, Samsung is now using, as of CES, its own Tizen operating system, which is an operating system it's been trying to work on for smartphones for a long time. It's practically given up on it for smartphones, but now it's using it to control its new TV interface. So gives Samsung a little bit more control. And then it also gives Samsung control over how that TV is going to start to talk to other devices in your house.
Uh-huh.
Because the TV really is part of your smart home.
And it's one of the things that's always on.
It's one of the things that's always on. Samsung also owns a company called SmartThings that has a hub that connects devices in your home.
Right.
They can make that all work together.
Is this also just another play from television companies to basically keep us all inside of their own ecosystem?
At first blush, it seems like a play to keep you inside the chosen ecosystem. And I think certainly having control over their own operating system is going to encourage that behavior. But both LG and Samsung have talked about their willingness to partner with outside smart home companies. And specifically, LG announced this week that it's going to be part of the Works with Nest program. You know, it's an Android ecosystem device, if you want to think about it that way, because Nest is owned by Google.
Our friend Lindsay Turrentine, editor-in-chief of CNET.com. Lindsay, thank you so much.
Thanks, Ben.
All right, want to hear one of the sounds from CES? Here you go. Any guesses? Not a robot, per se. Not a new tablet or a self-parking BMW. It's a recording of a 3D printer. Old news, you say? No way, man. Printers from XYZ Printing make cookies. What kind? Here's XYZ Business Development Manager Fair Tsai.
Anything you can think of that's edible, that's gooey, doughy, mushy, chocolate paste, pastry, jam, cream, sauce, anything.
Okay, she just said sauce, which brings me to Exhibit B, a printer from XYZ that makes pizza.
This commercial version food printer we have has three extruders, so you will be able to insert dough in one, the sauce in another, and then the liquid cheese in the third.
Liquid cheese, and all for a consumer-friendly price of somewhere beneath $2,000. Okay, maybe not totally ready for prime time, but Tsai says her company wants to change manufacturing by playing with different materials and different printing technology. Hey, if XYZ can perfect the 3D printed pizza and do it faster than the delivery guy, game changer. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's our show today. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.